Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
We have to be looking at all of this a little bit more spiritual, but it won't be spiritual on October 21, because the Bible clearly teaches that then the world is going to be destroyed altogether.
I clearly have done things that were wrong. I've clearly had to seek God's forgiveness. People have to decide whether or not what I've said and what I've done is real.
When I touched my hand against the Western Wall and placed my prayer between its ancient stones, I thought of all the centuries that the children of Israel had longed to return to their ancient homeland.
The Holy Spirit is interested in glorifying the Christ, the Messiah, and he points all of our attention to the incarnation, God becoming flesh and laying down his life as a sacrifice for us.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Nowadays, the term scholarship is, especially in Christian circles, a suspect term. Well, there's a good reason for that. I mean, nowadays, the scholars that everyone wants to listen to with regard to the truth claims of Christianity are all trying their hardest to debunk those claims. And so it's no wonder that, especially here in the American context, American Christianity views scholarship with some suspicion. But it wasn't always true, and good scholarship, until recently, was more often than not put into service of good theology, not fighting against it. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about an 8th century priest, monk, and yes, scholar, Bede the Venerable. Pastor Heath Curtis will join us on this day to remember him along with the rest of the church. A little bit later in this hour of Issues Etc., we'll continue our four-part weekly series, part 3, on creation in the New Testament. Dr. Joel Heck will join us. He's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. In the Beginning, God, Creation from God's Perspective. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @IssuesETC or visit our Facebook fan page. You can leave questions or comments there for Dr. Heck. In about 10 minutes here on the program, continue our series on the creation account in Genesis in its New Testament context. Facebook.com/IssuesETC, Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, author of the Daily Divine Service book. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be here, Todd.
What do you think pop American Christianity, awash as it is today in a subjectivism, one might even go so far as to say an anti-intellectualism, suspicious of scholarship, sometimes for good reason? What do you think they could learn from a man, this 8th century scholar, Venerable Bede?
Well, yeah, Bede really comes from a time that's, in many ways, the churchly life is just the mere opposite of American, you know, pop Christianity, which is very much based on seeking my own material good or my own spiritual good in a kind of shallow, feel-good way. You know, Bede is, he's a man living at a very interesting time in history, in a very interesting people group. You know, I mean, he's an Engel. He's a German, and you know, maybe second or third generation of those Germans who had come to invade the British Isles, and yet his path, you know, the path that he chose is one of thoughtful contemplation about the higher things in life. He lives a life of patience and prayer and scholarship, very much, therefore, devoted to posterity. You know, he spends his life's work as a history. He writes over 60 books, but the one he's best known for is a history of the Church of England, of how Christianity came to the British Isles, and he very much leaves that to posterity. He looks forward in his life to a life beyond him, not only his own eternal life, but also to those who are going to come after him in the church. And so he looks not his life bespeaks that Christian virtue of not looking to your own good, not even your own spiritual good, but through his life work, he looks to better others, even those who have not yet been born.
So give us a brief bio of this man.
Sure. As I said, one of the things I find most interesting about Bede, for all the good things about him, is to locate him in his particular time in history in the 8th century. It is still there's still very much a lot of active hatred and warfare among the Angles, who were Germans from Saxony, who invaded the British Isles, and the natives of the British Isles, who today we call the Cornish and the Welsh, the Britons. And there was a great deal of conflict at his time in the church between these two peoples. Now, for about 100 years before Bede's time, let's even say 200 years before Bede's time, the Angles, the Germans, who had been pagans, had become Christians. The native Britons, the Celts, the people who spoke Welsh, they had become Christian in the Roman era, and when the Roman Empire fell and moved out, the native British church, kept on chugging along. And so what's interesting, especially in our era of, ecumenical difficulties and how does the church live together and how can we be one in Christ, that was a very real issue. Because here you have on this, relatively small island, two different people groups, yet they both claim to follow Christ. How are these churches going to merge? And Bede's role in there, Bede is a proud Angle, and so it's sometimes hard for him to come to terms with the native British church. But of course, as we know, as history goes on, eventually the church was unified in Britain, which is a great blessing for us. But as far as a biography, the Bede, he lived. He was born. He entered the priesthood. He served in a monastery as a scholar. Today, he would be a fellow who served in a church university, essentially. And as far as his own personal life, he lived very quietly. Left all this scholarship for posterity and died a Christian death. He has a very calm life.
It's interesting that you mentioned his interest in higher things, not only in matters of theology, but in what we would call today higher learning. He seems to be, at least in some sense, ahead of his time in the way he conceived of the world, and also how he conceived of things as simple as the calendar. If I'm not mistaken, he's the first to measure time, or at least the passage of the years, referenced to Christ's birth rather than any other way of counting time.
Yeah, he picks up on the guy who invented the current system that we use of B.C. and A.D. His name was Dionysius. I can't remember what his title is, but Dennis. And Bede, he's the first author to use that and to make it stick. Before that time, you'd date from the founding of the city of Rome or from this emperor's reign or whatnot. And it was only in this period, the 5th, 6th, 7th centuries, that actually dating things in A.D. took off. And so he used that as a universal system so that you could date, events in history and you wouldn't get lost in all the reigns of different kings and whatnot. He's also ahead of his time when it comes to what today we consider kind of honest scholarship. He was very careful in marking his manuscripts where he had quoted from previous authors. He had very modern notions about that. So he's just a very careful, conscientious scholar, and one of the best tributes to him when you read a biography of the Venerable Bede is somebody will say, he was not a creative theologian. He didn't introduce any new ideas or have any groundbreaking, you know, theories. And that is the highest compliment you can give a Christian theologian, that he faithfully handed on the doctrine once delivered to the saints, and he didn't feel any need to make up his own wacky ideas.
Do you have a favorite? I mean, he wrote a lot, but do you have a favorite quote from the Venerable Bede?
I sure do, and this, again, shows his love of scholarship and yet his churchmanliness and his rootedness in the Christian tradition. He said, "Holy Scripture is above all other books, not only by its authority, because it is divine, or by its utility, because it leads to eternal life, but also by its antiquity and its literary form." So he views Scripture as the final norm for the Church's teaching, and he's not creative about it. Instead, he just passes on what the Scriptures say, and so he is indeed worthily called a doctor of the Church.
The best of Christian scholarship seeks, as you said before, not to innovate, but to bring forth from the past and build upon the works of those who came before. With about 30 seconds here, could we use more of that today in the church? About 30 seconds, Heath.
Absolutely. You know, I don't want to throw stones at any of the fine scholars that we have today in the church, but it is still the fact that someone like Bede, who is not out to make a name for himself, but instead pass on faithful learning of the past, is still a rare commodity. There are a lot of pressures today in academic theology, like there are in all the other humanities, publish or perish, come up with a new idea, make a name for yourself. We could use a lot more guys like Venerable Bede who just want to hand us the Scriptures and teach us what they mean.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, author of the Daily Divine Service Book. You can find out more about the Daily Divine Service Book under the Listen on Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor Curtis, thank you very much.
Good to be with you.
When we come back on this Wednesday afternoon, live, May the 25th, we'll continue our we're at three of four parts on creation, according to Genesis 1, today with Dr. Joel Heck, Creation and the New Testament.
Looking for a church that has a small, family-like atmosphere, yet strives for excellent liturgical worship with outstanding music while focused on God's Word and sacraments? A church located in the heart of St. Louis and reaching out to the neighborhood with Jesus Christ and Him crucified? I'm Pastor John Helwig of Emmaus Lutheran Church at 2241 South Jefferson in St. Louis. I invite you to join us for Bible class Sunday mornings at 9 and worship at 10:30. Visit us on the web at emmaus-stl.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. steadfastlutherans.org.